Nation on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum, and so welcome to your program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. What is the topic of today's episode? It's about unity in diversity.
ربنا عليك قدرا يا إمام
So be with us. But let's see what date is today. Today, Saturday, is the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 24th of May, 1400, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of October, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As our rules in today's special, at first we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to one of the surahs. Today, Surah Hujurat, verse 10. Please listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
The believers are but brothers, so make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, this ayah joins Muslims together as brothers in faith and considers making peace with each other as a way for receiving God's mercy. The Holy Quran invites even followers of the previously revealed scriptures to unity, calling them people of the book. When members of the society members give up differences and their hearts become close to each other, the enemy cannot harm them.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayril khalqi wa ahlaha. Sallallahu ala Taha.
Unity is a part of nature as it is a response to the call of existence. Without unity, the Muslim community faces many problems and challenges as we see today. We are all single individuals working to a single goal. However, if we act a whole community helping and assisting each other to reach the ultimate goal, Jannah, we all become successful. Having differences in opinions in certain areas of the deen, our religion, Islam, should not be a reason that we do not unite. Having differences in normality, and it's one of the universal natures. Differences bring ideas, opinions, and are benefits to the Ummah.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. This is a fact that in all major religions and schools of thought in the world, we find that there are some denominations or some offshoots. Let me give you an example. We find that in all philosophical branches of studies, or even in the realm of philosophy, there are various versions of the same philosophy or of the same important mainstream in any academic field. For example, in the world of literature, in the world of, for example, sociology, or in any discipline, we find there's one mainstream plus several offshoots or several bylines in this regard. Religions and denominations are likewise in this, they are like this. So we find that, for example, in Christianity, there are various branches of Christianity or various churches or various denominations. Also, for example, in Judaism, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, and likewise in the Islamic religion. There's one and the same mainstream in the Islamic religion, in that all people, all Muslims, believe in certain articles of faith. For example, the one and only God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one and the same Quran. However, regarding some other issues and other aspects of the of Islamic history and Islamic creeds and rites and rituals, we find that there are various branches. And this is quite natural. It shouldn't be said that this is acceptable or this is ideal, but that this is a fact, that this is a reality. This is what it is in reality.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Let's title this part Islamic Unity, because it's one of the main responsibility of Muslims. Unity is amongst the greatest and the most important duties of all Muslims. The week leading to Rabiul Awwal, the 12th, was named as Unity Week at the beginning of the revolution, I mean Islamic revolution in Iran. That was because, according to famous traditions narrated by our Sunni brothers, Rabiul Awwal, the 12th, marks the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. But according to famous traditions narrated by the Shia, the Holy Prophet's birth anniversary falls on Rabiul Awwal 17th. At the beginning of the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian nation and government officials named the period between these two dates as Unity Week. They wanted Unity Week to be a symbolic representation of unity among Muslims, but it is not enough to choose names and talk about things. We must engage in action. We must move toward unity. The world of Islam is in need of unity today. There will be obstacles and sources of discord, but we must overcome these obstacles.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
This is today's special. Now we point to the things we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity. One of them is understand that Muslim unity is not an option. It become cliche to say that Muslims have reduced Islam to rituals and forgotten other important tenets. While it is crucial to practice the five pillars of Islam, for instance, we cannot ignore other basic aspects of the faith that emphasize brotherhood and sisterhood. Muslim unity is an obligatory duty according to the Quran, and the Prophet said, in the love, kindness, and compassion for each other, the believers are like a human body. When one part of it is hurt, the rest sympathizes with it in wakefulness and fever.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, O people, we have created you from a single male and a single female. For what purpose? And when we examine the diversity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this life, what is the purpose behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so you may come to know one another. Indeed, the most honorable amongst you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa, the one who has the most piety, the one who's most mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a professor in the United States, professor of philosophy. He writes an interesting story. He says, one day I went to Sears or Walmart, to one of these department stores, and I purchased a barbecue grill. And I took it home and I was trying to assemble it. He says, as I'm trying to assemble it, you know, you have that propane gas tank which you have to attach it to in order for you to light the fire with. He says, as I was trying to open this tank in order to attach it to the barbecue grill, I heard the gas escaping, the propane gas escaping. And you know, propane gas is poisonous. You don't want to inhale that thing. He says, as I realized that I was inhaling this gas because I was hearing the noise of it escaping, I started to breathe very fast. I started to feel as I was suffocating, and I almost lost consciousness. So we called 911, the emergency, the police, to come and help us. Now he says, interestingly, when the police came and they examined the propane gas tank, they told him, what's wrong with you? This gas tank was empty. There was no propane gas. You have to go and fill it yourself. And we confirmed with Sears or Walmart that when they actually sell these things, they come empty. There is no gas in it. And he says, it's amazing how the belief that I had, because I thought, I was under the impression that there was actually a poisonous gas coming from this tank, I actually felt suffocating. I almost lost my consciousness, but then I realized there was just some oxygen trapped inside. There was really nothing. And he uses this story to demonstrate the power of faith, respected brothers and sisters. When we speak of unity, I would like to confirm to you that the most important aspect and tool that can give you unity is faith.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta al-nabiyul amin, wa sayyidul mursaleen, rahmatan lil'alameen, jitta bil-haqqil yaqeen. سيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Food for thought.
Everyone, today on the 9th of Rabiul Awal, the first day of the start of the mission of the Lord of the Age, the Holy Prophet's 12th and last infallible successor, Abu Saleh al-Mahdi, may God hasten his return, following the martyrdom of his father, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the day before. Here is a saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding the awaited Savior of mankind, who is presently in occultation by the will of God, and will reappear in the end times to establish a global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. The earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. And it is because of him that the proofs and signs of Allah are not wasted.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Poverty in all of its forms is something that is extremely undesired by Islam. We have many traditions that speak about, you know, financial or material poverty and how it stops a person from attaining truth and coming close to religion and coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is thinking about his stomach, about his family's stomach, and so on and so forth, there is no time to think about Allah, unfortunately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, will, you know, account and take account of this person's deeds according to his own situation. And obviously that person who's sitting pretty in a big mansion that, you know, has servants and stuff, and also in a different manner. That is why the Day of Judgment, there will be so many different types of judges, or judgments rather, that will be taking place. But there is another type of poverty that the Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam, mentions, and he says that it is worst, or it is the worst type of poverty. It is even worse than that material poverty, and it is termed in the tradition as faqrun nafs, Now, obviously, we can explain this in many different ways and forms. That self-poverty, or what is known as poverty of the self, which the Imam says that is the worst of poverty, can be that a person does not have awareness of himself, does not understand who he is, does not understand where he came from, does not understand where he is, does not understand where he is going. The three most pertinent questions a person must ask himself: where did I come from? Where am I at this particular moment in time? Where am I going? And obviously the fourth one is, how do I get to that destination? So these are those particular questions that a person has to ask themselves. And a person who does not ask these questions has basically put himself into poverty, has put his known self, if you take the word nafs as meaning self, into poverty. That he does not know, nor does he understand why he is even in the world in the first place. Nor does he understand where he is going. Nor does he understand how to get to that particular destination. Everything for him is just, you know, lackadaisical or, you know, pointless. There is no objective to why he is here. And therefore, he will do whatever, and he will then make his soul full of poverty. Why? This is now another step forward. Because there will be nothing worth or worthy within that soul of his. It will just be an animalistic soul. For true wealth is a person attaining, even to a small extent, that human soul that is within us. Obviously, we do not want to get into the discussion of the soul and the levels of the soul. But the first and foremost step is to first have self-awareness. A person who does not have self-awareness, obviously has placed himself into poverty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have their self-awareness, to understand who we are, where we are going, and how to get there. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of this program, I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program consists of different Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Besides these parts, we're going to have some other Quranic segments which are going to be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned.
إذا
Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat Anbar. He was born in 1984. He is actually the youngest prominent master of the Noble Quran recitation, Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anbar. He managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely under the care of his father at the age of 12. Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat Anbar has a bachelor's degree in Islamic and Arabic sciences from Al-Azhar University in Cairo. In Quran recitation, his role model is his older brother, Sheikh Anwar Shahat Anbar. He has been invited to many Muslim and non-Muslim countries, such as Kuwait, Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, Iraq, Pakistan, Syria, Indonesia, France, and many other countries. Having listened to his recitations, 7 people have been reverted to Islam, 4 from South Africa, 2 from the United Kingdom, and 1 from France. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat Anbar reciting Suratul A'la from the very beginning to the end of verse 7. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul A'la, verses 1 to 7, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat Anbar. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This recitation was in Riwaya of Warsh an Nafi'. It was very obvious from the first verse, Rabbika la'ala, Rabbika la'ala. We have the tasheel of the Hamza.
Yes.
Rabbika la'ala. And we also have imala, which is actually taqlil, imala to sughra. Okay, we have two kinds of imala. We have imala kubra and sughra. This is the lesser imala, which means, imala means it comes from mail, which means making the fatha inclined
toward kasra.
Toward kasra. It's neither a kasra, nor actually it's a fatha, it's an aliful mad, but it doesn't sound like a normal fatha or aliful mad, and it doesn't sound like a normal kasra
or Ya'ul Mad either.
It's something in between.
In between, yes.
But in fact, for Imalatul Kubra, we have the inclination is really, it's almost like a kasra. Mm-hmm. It's very, very close to kasra.
When does it occur?
We don't have this imala in all riwayas. Uh-huh. We only have it in some riwayas. Okay, for example, we have khalaf and hamza. We have ji'ah. It sounds almost like a ya'ul mad, but it's not a ya'ul mad.
And what?
Adarika. Adarika. See, it's in Warsh you would say adarika. Adarika. This is
and in Hafs.
In Hafs, we don't. We only have one place, majareha.
Adaraka is pronounced adaraka.
Adaraka with yeah. tafkhim, yes. Mm-hmm. But in
totally Wash, different.
Yeah, they're totally different. Anyway, so we have Rabbika la'ala, a'le actually. Notice how Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad does not pronounce the ayn sakina with tawassul.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we said before, most reciters, they pronounce Ayn Sakina with Rakhawa mm-hmm. because it's easier.
Yes.
And it helps with the melody, actually, because it's a kind of interruption if you want to pronounce it with Tawassul. Of course, a skillful reciter is a reciter who is able to, organize his melody in such a way that the tawassut of the ayn is preserved
mm-hmm.
and the tajweed is preserved, okay?
Yes.
So you don't sacrifice tajweed for the melody.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
And sometimes you could do the opposite. It's okay. Actually, that's preferred if you, in fact, sacrifice the melody for tajweed,
yeah.
but not vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Because tajweed is much more important.
And by tawassut, you mean actually you're talking about
the timing
of
yes.
the letters.
Al-a'la. This is tawassut. But if you say al-a'la, a'la, this is rakhawa.
Rakhawa are the
it
letters which...
The weak fricatives.
Yeah, weak fricatives which actually take...
A longer time to be pronounced. Yeah. And we see the other imalas, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. And about the mads in Warsh, مَدُّ الْمُنْفَصِلِ and مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ are both lengthened to six vowel counts in Warsh, and it is known as إِشْبَاعَ of the mad. So you completely... You lengthen the mad, munfasil, and muttasil mm-hmm. to the maximum number of vowel counts. Okay?
Not less, not more.
Exactly. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً. Again, we have madul muttasil this time. Again, mm-hmm. you have to lengthen it to six vowel counts. أَحْوَى. Now, the other rules of tajweed are similar to حَفْص عَنْ عَصْم. Okay? So, وَرْش عَنْ نَافِع is not like it's completely different from Hafs. Most of the rules are the same. We have the tafkhim of the letters of isti'la. Of course, not all the time, but most of the time. We have the mudud.
You said all of them are actually.
We still have the lengthening. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Okay. They're not exactly. For example, matul lazim. Mm-hmm. is lengthened to the same number of vowel counts as Hafs.
Is there any riwaya in which actually there is no lengthening? There's no mad?
No. We all, at least matul muttasil is wajibul muttasil.
Mm-hmm.
You have to lengthen matul muttasil. And of course, matul lazim. Mm-hmm.
So the difference isn't the time when we lengthen the letters?
Yes, the matul munfasil and matul muttasil is different in Warsh from Hafs. So it's not the same. But the other rules, for example, the tawleef of the lam of the majestic name of Allah, illa ma sha Allah, it has to be pronounced with tafkhim.
With the full mouth.
Yes.
Practically.
إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Again, we have بِمَالَ. But the other rules are the same. We have إِشْبَاعَ of هَاوَ الضَّمِيرِ إِنَّهُ. We have the غُنَّة of the نُون, which is مُشَدَّد. We have الْجَهْرَ. We have تَفْخِيمَ of the رَا, just like in حَفْص. In fact, if you learn the differences between Hafs and Warsh, you could easily learn the rules of Warsh because there are not that many.
Yes.
Okay. If you learn the basics of Warsh, you might be able to recite the Quran in the style of Warsh on Naf. Of course, there are certain places in the Quran where Warsh uses another letter or the word is different. For example, we have يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. In Warsh, we have يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَمَا يُخَادِعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. So يَخْدَعُونَ becomes يُخَادِعُونَ in Warsh.
Or for example, different words.
The way that they're written is the same, mm-hmm. but the way they're pronounced is different.
How about the meaning?
The meaning is the same.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به والقرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tahbisu al-du'a. Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. Allahumma ghafir li kull dhanb adhnabtu وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Brothers and sisters, regarding this part of the supplication, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. Oh Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplication. We have talked about different elements playing role in hindrance of the supplications. In the previous programs, we have discussed hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in worship and good deeds in order to gain the other's attention is unlawful and is subjected to Almighty Allah's wrath. But the other factor involved in holding back the supplications is hypocrisy with brother in faith. Hypocrisy and double standards with religious brothers is so repulsive and it is so impure that the dominant Allah in His Holy Quran has deliberated the most severe chastisement and the worst place in hell for the hypocrites. The hypocrites are the ones who express their belief before the believers, but then they turn against them in their absence. These are the hypocrites who are in constant relationship with the disbelievers to place the believers into trouble, to transfer their secrets to the disbelievers. So hypocrisy is an endless disease that is impossible to cure. And they have been and they will be the most dangerous enemies of the religion because they try to infiltrate the religion from within the religion. The hypocrite's belief is on his tongue and his disbelief is in his heart. So his heart and mind are both polluted and his morality is poor. His thoughts are satanic and his personality is dangerous. In addition to the Quranic verses that show the hypocrites' signs in various chapters, there are important traditions in hadith books, some of which will be discussed in today's program.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins, which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
In one of the narrations, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, in reply to Muhammad ibn Fulayl, wrote about the hypocrites a very noteworthy letter. He says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. The double-faced people who are deceitful in relation to Allah, the religion, and the Prophet, they are not considered among the Prophet's disciples and the believers. لَيْسُوا مِنْ عِتْرَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَيْسُوا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَيْسُوا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
They pretend to be believers, يظهرون الإيمان, and hide their disbelief and lying, ويسرون الكفر والتكذيب. And at the end, the Holy Imam says, لعنهم الله. May Allah curse them all. Imam Ridha عليه السلام has said, من علامات النفاق, among the signs of hypocrisy, قساوة القلب وجمود العين والإصرار على الذنب والحرص على الدنيا are hard-heartedness, inability to weep, insistence on sins, and too much longing for this world. So, brothers and sisters, you can now understand how these elements are interrelated to each other. We have seen a sense of longing for this world and the material blessings. In almost all of these elements hindering the acceptance of our supplications, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, one whose inside is not the same as his appearance is a hypocrite, regardless of his place, situation, and status. So these hypocrites try to hide their belief, and they try to keep their disbelief in their hearts so that no one would understand, and they would gain and accumulate more wealth. There are many factors involved in creating hypocrisy, and I assume talking about that is beyond the scope of this discussion. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the beloved memory of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, and it's about his life and times. Once again, I'm joined by my good friend, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, on this program. I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi. In our last session, we discussed the crisis of leadership in the West, and we basically focused on the issue of the lack of moral and ethical leadership in the West. We were exploring reasons for that, and what we wanted to focus now is, where is this all heading? Because, you know, the leadership in the West is not leadership at all. It's just short-termism. It's just about profitability and, you know, whatever the elites see in their interest in the next 2 minutes.
Right.
But as far as the imam is concerned, and, you know, once we say the word imam, I think that changes the dynamic immediately, because the imam was not speaking, may God bless his soul, just for that particular moment or that particular era. You know, even if we consider that 10 years in which he was the leader of the revolution, the supreme leader of the revolution. And you talked about the fact that there's an enormous difference between an imam who is a supreme jurist, who has the merits and the prerequisites of being the embodiment of the values of Islam, so that we all follow the model,
right,
and the paradigm. But at the end of the day, we're talking about something that was beyond time, wasn't it? I mean, the imam was making speeches and quoting things that just left us flabbergasted. I mean, my jaw used to hit the floor each time what is Imam Khomeini going to say now? You know, it was not even, you know, something for Iran. It used to echo into, you know, the universe.
Exactly.
Can I put it that way?
Exactly.
Please take it from there, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi. I'll leave the floor to you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think that's exactly, you know, the way you've described it. It's beyond even what we were talking about in the previous program. It's leadership, it's moral leadership that is universal, that speaks to the whole world, and it's also moral leadership that extends through time.
Yes.
Which, again, all of this is a reflection, is an echo of the real leadership, which is the leadership of the imams.
Yes.
And, you know, of...
That's a fundamental
of the imam of the
it?
Age, which at currently, you know, at every time, and in every age, there is an imam.
Mm.
So because we were not able to really protect the divine imams...
Unfortunately.
Right, and they were martyred. So, you know, Allah in his wisdom said, you know what, I'm going to take care of them. Until you are capable of physically protecting them.
Ah.
And this is really the point, because we always talk about Ghaiba and Ghaibat al-Kubra as being this kind of very, you know, mystical thing, this very mysterious thing, and
it.
It's really not that, it's not that complicated.
No, it's a practical reality
to the whole thing. It's not that complicated why the imams are in occultation. The reason is because we can't take care of them physically.
No.
Protect them physically. And they say, well, aren't they the imams? Can't they just, you know, snap with their fingers or blink with an eye? And and if you look, and this is really shows a very, a person who would say that, really, this is evidence of a